Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast, and we've got a special for you today. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by Paul Aspen and Cam Ellis. We're going to have John Moon Mullen on the podcast later, as well as Alex Brown, because March Madness is here, and we're putting together a Bears spin on it with our Chicago Football Madness bracket. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've divided some of your favorite Bears players and the all-time greats, and maybe not so greats, into four different regions. Make sure to have your voice heard. You can vote on these matchups on our website on NBCSportsChicago.com. Each matchup will have a Twitter poll on our Bears Talk Twitter account, so keep an eye on that. This is a chance for you guys to get your voice heard, to vote for some guys who you think should be among the best people to ever be a part of the Bears organization, or in the case of 16-seeded Cody Parkey in the 2018 region, to not vote for him is what I'm assuming you'll do. Anyways, I'm going to turn it over to the mastermind of our Chicago Football Madness, Paul Aspen, for some more details here.
So, I mean, like you mentioned, Cody, so we had some fun with it as well, but I'm not exactly sure when it was. It was post-Super Bowl, but with March Madness coming up, everyone wants to do a bracket on something. It was just kind of fit that the 2018 team got compared a lot to the 2006 defense especially, and then the 85 team, throwing a fourth bracket of other legends, and here we are.
Here we are.
Going to be exciting. So, Paul, do you want to introduce our 2018 bracket? That's what we're going to start off talking about here today.
Okay, so these are the matchups in the 2018 region. We've got the 1 seed, Khalil Mack, against the 16, Cody Parkey.
I'm honestly surprised we put him on here.
Are you?
A little bit, yeah.
Is
anyone going to earnestly pick Cody? I guess you have
to. It would have been unfair to Cody Whitehair to put him up against Khalil Mack.
True, right. True. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
This might be the closest matchup in this region. The 8-9-8 Roquan Smith after a stellar rookie season against Allen Robinson, who had a very respectable first season as a Bear. Might be one of the most intriguing matchups. The 5 Mitchell Trubisky against the 12 Vic Fangio. 4 Eddie Jackson against the 13 Danny Trevathan. A couple of members of the defense, one veteran, one newer up and comer, going against each other. 6 Kyle Fuller, great season this year against an 11 Trey Burton, a little bit of a mixed bag. 3 Akeem Hicks against 14 Leonard Floyd. 7 Tariq Cohen against Taylor Gabriel. Those guys going back and forth a lot ever since, you know, Taylor Gabriel joined the team.
So I'd like to see that matchup determined by a foot race.
I mean, they've been talking about it since training camp, so maybe even OTAs. And then the 2 Matt Nagy. Only seated behind Khalil Mack against Jordan Howard. Might be some emotions in that one in the 215.
So let's talk about some of the matchups here that I like. First up, Mitch Trubisky versus Vic Fangio. Paul is the lead member of the selection committee. I have to say Vic Fangio is criminally underseated here.
It's all about matchups, guys.
Yeah.
It's all about matchups.
It's all about juicy matchups. I hear you.
So I took Vic Fangio over Mitch Trubisky. In terms of impact on the 2018 team, what Vic Fangio did with that defense was nothing short of spectacular. It's why he's the Denver Broncos head coach right now. But just for 2018, the impact that Vic Fangio had on this team to me was greater than the impact that Mitch Trubisky had. And that is saying a lot, because coaches rarely have an impact that is greater than the players on the field.
Yeah, I think that hits it on the head. I actually kind of almost now like it, because it gives me – you need a 12-5 upset.
Exactly. And this one is perfect. A 12 always wins.
A 12 always wins, and Vic Fangio just – I got crossed it off the list, and I'm ready to roll now, so I like it.
Yeah, and that's the debate is, like, you're going on the 2018 season.
Yeah.
So Vic clearly, I think, has the edge there. He probably, you know, a lot of times you see a 12-5 matchup. The 12 sometimes is even favored.
Right.
Say Vic is favored in this matchup. Yeah. I mean, if you're thinking future, you
he's the mid-major Mitch. Winner, the exactly. mid-major conference winner.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like to point out that on this bracket, the initial version of it did not have Danny Trevathan, and I lobbied for Danny Trevathan to get on it, knowing he was not going to advance past whoever he was going up against, in this case, Eddie Jackson. But to me, Danny Trevathan was, I mean, Eddie Goldman is criminally underrated, almost to the point where now Eddie Goldman is no longer criminally underrated.
Right.
To me, Danny Trevathan was criminally underrated last year. He's not going to make a Pro Bowl, but the guy made over 100 tackles. He was the heart and soul of that defense. He was the leader on that defense, the vocal leader, the guy who set the tone for that entire team. To me, Danny Trevathan deserves a lot of credit for how good the Bears were. And to his credit, he played a full 16-game season, which is something that we had some questions about him coming into the year. So to me, Danny Trevathan deserves to be in this bracket. He's not going to advance, but that's why I lobbied for him.
As the Super Bowl champion, Danny Trevathan, and right. To your point, I mean, the selection committee did listen to outside input. It's not, we're not infallible over here. So, but yeah, that's a good one. And then I mentioned it a little bit already, but the 215, we know Matt Nagy is going to win, but the 710, especially the way those two guys, Tariq Cohen and Taylor Gabriel, have gone at each other, could be close. I think Tariq has the edge.
Yeah.
So if we, I guess we should just go through each of the matchups.
Yeah.
And so Khalil Mack is going to win that one.
I had Khalil Mack. Yeah.
Unless you're really sadistic or you're a Packers.
Cody Parkey's right. wife, maybe a maybe
or an Eagles Cody fan. Yeah. Yeah. Roquan and Allen Robinson. Curious to see how you guys come down on that.
Yeah, that was tough. I took Roquan at the end just because I thought his season was really good and it just kept getting better.
Yep.
But essentially, really, he edged out Allen Robinson because Roquan played in all 16 games, and Allen Robinson did miss a couple there.
Right. I actually first wrote down Allen Robinson and then crossed it out and put Smith. I think that when you have a quote-unquote generally underwhelming year and you still lead the defense in tackles, you deserve to go for it.
You did something right.
Right, exactly. So I have Smith as well.
Yep, close one, but we're all on Roquan. We're all on Vic Fangio.
Yep.
We're all on Eddie Jackson in the 413. Kyle Fuller, Trey Burton. Kyle Fuller for me.
I said Kyle Fuller, but I was talking with JJ about this earlier, and it was a little tougher for me than usual.
Okay.
Trey Burton had his best year, and it was not maybe what people thought, but statistically speaking, compared to his other seasons, he had the best year of his career.
Well, and you saw things fell apart for the Bears offense when Trey Burton got hurt before the playoff game, but Kyle Fuller led the league in interceptions.
Right.
Speaking of best years of your career, Kyle Fuller
sure.
had it.
Yeah. But let's give Trey Burton some
yes,
love.
Yes, absolutely.
It's just tough. Like, a lot of people just have the late injury the night before the game kind of stuck in their head, and that's just tough to get past. Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd had a nice little – he came up towards the end, the second half of the season, but, I mean, Akeem Hicks, what a back-to-back years.
Yeah, should have been back-to-back Pro Bowl years.
Yep.
At least he got his Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah. So where are you guys going with Tariq Cohen and Taylor Gabriel?
I took Tariq Cohen. Just the role he had in the offense was dynamic. It was incredibly impressive. Not to say that what Taylor Gabriel did was at all minimized by this, because I thought Taylor Gabriel showed some real toughness in some of the catches that he made. He had some of the longest receptions of the year against Miami and Minnesota. I liked what I saw out of Taylor Gabriel, but Tariq Cohen is such an awesome-to-watch part of this offense. You also add in he was an all-pro punt returner. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right. Taylor Gabriel sort of became a deep threat for the Bears, which was not what they bought him in to be, and he sort of did that. He made some great catches, I thought. But yeah, Tariq Cohen, I think he was the best player on the Bears' offense last year, bar none,
yes.
I think.
So we're all on Cohen, and then Nagy, a little bit of a grudge match perhaps on the part of Howard, but I think that we're all agree that Nagy takes that one. So, Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, we're all Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Yep, it's kind of hard to pick against Khalil Mack.
What about Fangio and maybe his most electrifying player outside of Khalil Mack?
So, I went with Eddie Jackson on this for largely the reason that Vic Fangio will tell anyone who listens that, you know, last year my favorite line he would always say was, well, we got good players and we played good. And Vic is someone who, he is a defensive genius. But he also knows he's got to have good players and guys who fit the system. And Eddie Jackson is the perfect fit as that kind of ball hawk, rangy safety who can play great coverage. He can lock on a side of a field. To me, Vic Fangio, great defensive mind, but it's still ultimately at the end of the day is about the players. and that's why Eddie Jackson gets the nod.
Right, exactly right. At the end of the day, Vic Fangio can game plan all he wants, but Eddie Jackson is the one breaking up passes or intercepting. You have to actually do that to win football games. That sounds so rudimentary, but that's my decision-making going into it. And so Eddie Jackson's for me.
So the 4 seed, Eddie Jackson, gets past his defensive coordinator as the 12 seed, Vic Fangio. Next up, the 3 seed, Akeem Hicks, against the 6, Kyle Fuller. Think Hicks?
Yeah, to me, what Hicks did as a defensive lineman was so integral to the Bears' overall defense and how good they were. Because a lot of the times it was Hicks and Eddie Goldman, or Hicks and Bilal Nichols, or Hicks and Roy Robertson-Harris while they're in sub-packages. And his ability to not just anchor a double team, but to blow past a right guard and, you know, make whoever he's lining up against just have a miserable day. To me, that was such a key to how good the Bears' defense was last year.
Yeah, I think, too, that you can look at all the stats you want. I think if you brought someone who had never watched a football game in their life to a Bears game, and they watched one series on defense, and you would say, point out who is the difference maker, they would go Akeem Hicks. He was the guy that would, you would just say, wow, like I noticed him on that play more often than not.
Yeah.
That's why I picked Hicks. Just
week after week.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then Matt Nagy as the 2 seed against, we'll say, one of his favorite players, or at least weapons on offense, against the 7-3 Cohen coach over.
Nagy.
Oh, I picked Cohen.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but Cohen's coming out of this bracket for me.
Wow.
Hey,
yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just think when you are the most valuable player on offense, that means something. And for me, this team, there was a mediocre offense at best. I cannot even imagine what it would be like without Tariq Cohen in it.
That's a good point. Okay. So Nagy for me, I know I just explained how players make the difference, but Nagy walked in the building and changed the entire culture of the Bears.
Yep.
The defense bought into him. The offense obviously bought into him. And in the span of 12 months, the Bears went from being a boring, bad team to a fun, good team. And that started with Matt Nagy being hired as head coach.
So as we move, so we've got one upset there. Cam does at least. So in the 1-4, Khalil Mack against Eddie Jackson. I'll go to Cam again. Do you have another upset?
I went Eddie Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that All Pro deserves some credit. And these two are the two All Pro players. And so this is nothing against Khalil Mack, but I think it specifically in 2018 was the Eddie Jackson coming out show. It was him being the top-ranked safety in the league. I think that maybe there were Khalil Mack's one of three of the best pass rushers in the league. Eddie Jackson is the top safety in the league, and I don't think that's much of a debate. So that's why I picked Eddie Jackson.
To me, the moment Khalil Mack stepped on the field for the first time in a Bears uniform, he changed the Bears defense.
Yeah.
And Khalil Mack is coming out of the bracket for me because as he goes up against Matt Nagy, I'm looking at the two biggest difference makers and the two new guys in 2018. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Cam. Eddie Jackson was incredible last year. But the two guys who changed the Bears the most last year were Khalil Mack and Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy took the Bears to good, and Khalil Mack took them to great. So Khalil Mack comes out of the bracket for me.
I have Nagy coming out of the bracket because he changed the entire culture at Hallis Hall. And I guess you could make the argument that Ryan Pace bringing him in also changed it, but he made the Bears fun again. We've said it so many times. He just changed everything. So it wouldn't even matter if you brought in Khalil Mack if you didn't have Matt Nagy sort of thing. So I'll just give him the edge here. So I want to hear about your Tariq Cohen Eddie Jackson matchup.
A 2017 fourth round special.
There we go. I picked Cohen again, obviously. It just goes back to, I think that the Bears are just a truly dysfunctional offense without him. And I was looking at the 2018, maybe less on who's more valuable to the Bears versus who in a vacuum had the best season. So, for instance, against Matt Nagy is probably unquestionably more valuable to the Bears franchise right now, but there were several moments in games throughout the whole season when people were going, Matt, man, whether it's too much aggression, too little aggression, play calling. There were moments when there was fair criticism against Matt Nagy, and there was not that with Eddie Jackson or Tariq Cohen minus not being able to play because of injuries.
Okay, so Paul, you got Matt Nagy coming out.
Yep.
Cam, you have Tariq Cohen. I've got Khalil Mack. Nice. Let us know what you think. Tweet us at NBCSBears on Twitter. Let us know if you want to tweet our personal handles. You can find those too. Curious to see what you guys come up with. We're going to take a break. Coming up next, Alex Brown, a member of the 2006 Bears, joins us to break down that region. And later, John Moon Mullen will join us to talk about the 1985 Bears and Bears legends. Much more Chicago football madness coming up here on the Under Center podcast.
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, we're back here on the Under Center Podcast, Chicago Football Madness Edition. JJ, Paul, and Cam here in the studio. We've got Alex Brown on the phone, the only member of this bracket who actually is in the bracket. The only member of the panel who's in the bracket is what I'm trying to say. AB, thanks for taking the time on this. We're going to talk to you about the 2006 season. Before we start, and I hand it over to Paul, I'd like to know if you have any issues with the selection committee, given we have a member of the selection committee on here, specifically regarding the 7-10 matchup, AB, which is you're the 7 seed and Robbie Gould's the 10 seed.
Yeah, I think that's a little low for me. I mean, I think I should be a higher seed. I really do. I mean, it's a horrible matchup to go against, I mean, what a lot of people think, including myself, as the greatest kicker in Bears history and Robbie Gould. So, man, it's gonna be a hell of a competition, and I think that I'll come through.
You sound a little nervous about this matchup, AB.
I am nervous. I am. I mean, Robbie's
that's a tough draw.
I mean, he's a likable guy, and then he was a hell of a kicker. So it's hard to beat that guy.
Well, you're a likable guy, AB. I mean, you're not the greatest kicker in franchise history, but
How are your place kicking skills?
See, I don't think I'm the greatest anything in franchise history. That's why I think it's an uphill battle right now.
All right. Well, earlier we had a different 7 seed come out. Cam had Tariq Cohen coming out of the 2018. So we're not ruling you out. Anything is possible. So we'll just go through this matchup by matchup and have you take us through all these guys and some coaches that were on this team with you. All right. So we've got the 1 seed Brian Urlacher against Brian Urlacher with hair, who we see on billboards all around town. The 8-9-8 Thomas Jones against 9 Tommy Harris. 5-12, always a tricky matchup. 5, Lovie Smith against 12, the defensive coordinator of that team, Ron Rivera. 4, Charles Tillman against the 13, Musa Muhammad. The 6, Olin Krutz against the 11, Rex Grossman. 3, Devin Hester against the 14, Adewale Ogunleye. 7, yours truly, Alex Brown against the 10, Robbie Gould. And 2, Lance Briggs against the 15, Nathan Vasher. So, AB, we will start at the top. Urlacher against Brian Urlacher with hair.
Man. Oh, man. I think this is a pretty easy one, but I think a case could be made for the Urlacher with hair if you're a really good – he's my really good buddy. So, if he's happy, I'm happy, and he's happy with his hair. But I'm going to go with the Brian Urlacher without hair.
All right, yeah.
That's his Hall of Fame bust.
Right, I mean, yeah. He chose to go into the Hall of Fame without hair, so I think we all lean that way.
Yep.
All right, how about the 8-9, Thomas Jones against Tommy Harris?
Really, really good one right here. Thomas Jones is a huge part of that 06 team. So Tommy Harris was as well, but Tommy got hurt during that season. Thomas Jones is a dang machine. I'm going to go with Thomas Jones by hair on that one.
Okay. Tricky one here. A lot of different opinions on this one. So the 5, Lovie Smith against the 12, Ron Rivera.
See, and when we look at March Madness, 12s beat 5s all the time.
Yep.
And I think it happens in this one because if you look at the following year when Ron Rivera was not there, our defense was nothing like the 06 team defense. So I'm going to go with an upset here and take Ron Rivera.
Okay. 4-13, Peanut. He moves on as the number 4 against Musa Muhammad.
I think we have to limit this and say that we're talking about the 06 now. We're not talking about the entire career. And during that 06 year, Moose makes this a lot closer than I think a lot of people think. So Peanut still was a great player, and I'm going to go with Peanut, but it's a lot closer race than a lot of people probably think.
Okay, that's a great point to bring up that not a lot. Cam right here has talked about that as well. But
right, I was talking with JJ about this earlier, that if we're looking at specifically just that year, it's much closer than like the whole landscape of both their works is. It's funny that you say that too.
Exactly. There was no Peanut punch back then.
Yeah.
All right. Moving to the bottom half of the bracket, the 6, Olin Krutz against the 11, the guy he was snapping the ball to, Rex Grossman.
Well, when you look at the position, I think the quarterback usually gets the nod here, but being that Olin is Olin and he probably made – well, I don't think there's a probably about it. I think he made all the calls for Rex. So I'm going to go with Olin here. In my opinion, I think he's a Hall of Fame player. I'm going with Olin Krutz.
Okay, 314, Devin Hester against Adewale Ogunleye.
I love him, man. You know I love OG. I love Ogunleye, but this is a blowout right here. Devin Hester, the Windy City Flyer, he takes this one easy.
All right, we're going to skip the 7-10 for a second. We're going to go 215, Lance Briggs against Nathan Vasher.
Nate Vash, I tell you what, that 06, man, 06 was – 06 was a hell of a year for Vash, man. Vash, I think he made a lot of plays that year. So did Briggs.
Do it.
I don't think we make the Super Bowl without either one of them. I think they played a huge part. Oh, man. I'm gonna take Lance Briggs.
Oh. AB, hold on a second. Was it 06 that Vasher returned that missed field goal 109 yards?
No, that was actually 04.
Dang. Okay. Then forget it.
All right. So Lance.
The moment we're all the way.
Yeah. He squeezes past. So, all right. How's it? How's AB against Robbie Gould? How does this play out?
Robbie Gould was in his second year at the time. Alex Brown, he was a fixture on that defense, started every game. He actually 06 was probably his best season, and the season that the Bears actually go to a Super Bowl. I'm going to go with 9-6 on this one. He's going to hold strong.
All right. I'm really looking forward to this second round matchup, but we'll get to that in a second, too. So we'll have 54 moving on past Thomas Jones.
For that 06 year, yeah, 54 moves on.
Okay. How about Ron against Peanut? Because based on what you're saying about the last round, it might be Ron.
Ron Rivera moves on. Ron Rivera moves on that one.
Okay. Olin against Devin. This is the 6 against the 3.
This is hard. This is really, really hard. Without that special teams help, that fire that Devin brought, I don't think we're that same team. But without Olin Krutz, I don't think our offense is tied for second in the league in points that year. So, man, I'm going to go with Olin. I'm going to go with the veteran. I'm not going with the rookie that year. I'm going with Olin.
Okay.
AB, real quick, I had Devin Hester in my final against Walter Payton. So you just knocked my guy out in the second round.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a rookie here, and it's in his first year, you can't look at his entire career. You have to look at 06.
Still had 5 return touchdowns that year.
Yeah, 5 return touchdowns, and Olin playing every single play, being the captain
it's
on
true.
That offense. And that offense, they don't get a lot of credit, but they were tied for second with New England in points per game. So I'm going to go – I think Olin is the play there.
I'm gonna take the guy who played with these guys' word for it. So,
all right, this is a fun one. I want to see this all over Twitter and everywhere else between you and 55. But how's this Alex Brown Lance Briggs matchup go down?
I mean, I'll tell you what, it just comes down to making plays, and when you as far as sacks, interceptions, I think. I had interceptions that year. I had sacks. I had a bunch of tackles. I led the defensive line in tackles. Briggs was – I mean, at that point in time, Briggs was the second fiddle to 54. So it has to be 9-6 moving on.
Yes. All right. That may or may not make an appearance on the Football After Show next year.
What if it was you versus him today instead of 2006?
If it was what now?
If you guys are going against each other today instead of 2006.
Actually, today, I think Lance is a little out of shape right now.
I was going to say.
He is no question the Hall of Famer. If we're looking at careers, he blows me away. But we're just talking about 06 or today. Yes, I got it.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Sweet 16, Brian Urlacher, Ron Rivera.
Yeah. I don't think either is as successful as they were without the other. I think Ron played a big part in Urlacher being as good as he was. But prior to Ron getting here, Urlacher was still a special, special player. I think Urlacher moves on there.
All right. Okay, you against Olin.
You know what? I think 9-6 has run its course. The captain on the offense moves on here.
Okay. All right. I respect that. All right, Brian Urlacher and Olin.
It truly boils down to the two captains. When we look at that locker room, it was Olin and Urlacher who are the captains on that team. They were essential parts of each side. So the most – I'm going to go with Urlacher, but I'm going to say that it's a real close race, and Urlacher – just to put it in March Madness terms, hits a buzzer beater at the end of the game.
All right, so we got Urlacher coming out of 2006. So, Alex, just kind of give us a taste of what you've got as your final four picks and maybe a champion. Who do you have coming out of the 2018 bracket first as a final four guy?
2018, I think everybody's going to – I think the guy you go with, the popular guy, the really, really good player, I think it's going to be a heck of a battle between Mitchell and Khalil Mack the Sweet 16 maybe?
Yep, that's the Sweet 16.
I think that's going to be a heck of a matchup, but I think Khalil Mack takes that just because he's very dominant. And honestly, in the bottom half of that bracket, I think it'll be Akeem Hicks and Coach Nagy,
mm-hmm.
or Nagy, in that. I think the cool coach wins. I think the cool coach wins that. It'll come down to Mac and the cool coach of Coach Nagy. And, man, you take Coach Nagy, but, man, I think it'll be a real close race with him and Khalil Mack. But you take Coach Nagy coming out of that 2018.
AB, not to spoil the later part of this podcast where we have John Moon Mullen on, he had Vic Fangio coming out of this bracket.
He's not even a part of the team anymore. Like, you just can't. Like, people are gonna look at that and they're gonna be, he's not even here anymore. Although he did play a huge part in that 18 season, but without the, I think it was the fun of the offense. I think they're accustomed to seeing a dominant defense. That's what they expect. But to see a fun offense, I think that's what's going to catch people's eye. I think that's what wins.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the things that sets this 18 team apart from kind of the rest of the regions as well. So how do you just see the rest of it shaking out, a champion, or any thoughts on the other two regions?
Well, the 85, is Walter Payton's in there?
Yep, he's the one seed.
Okay, he wins.
Okay.
There's not much discussion going on there. And then in the Legends, I don't see how you can even go to anyone. Why is Julius Peppers up here? I don't know. But you can't even go against George Halas. He created the whole thing. Come on. So I think you got George Halas. I think you got Brian Urlacher. You got Walter Payton. And the cool coach. You got Coach Nagy in the Final Four. And you talk about a battle. The battle is going to be Walter Payton and the George Halas is going to be the battle. I think you have George Halas against Brian Urlacher in the final.
So you,
and George Halas wins.
There you go.
All right.
So you don't have Jay Cutler coming out of the Legends bracket?
I'm sorry. Is Jay Cutler in the Legends bracket?
You know he
is. It's Legends and others.
Hey, AB. Jay Cutler is the same seed as you do. Number 7 seed.
No, you're right. He lost to Cal Orton. Yes.
He's ultimately the most legend, I would argue.
Yes, he loses to Cal. Yes. He's definitely not going any further than losing to the guy that he was traded for.
And he's not even going to care about losing, so it's fine.
Yeah. Don't care.
He's got his reality show.
Right.
All right, AB, we got to wrap this segment up here. We're going to get to the 1985 and the Legends brackets later on. AB, thanks so much for participating in this. Remember, if you're listening to this and you want to get in on the action, tweet us at NBCS Bears. Keep an eye out for some polls. You can also follow us on NBC Sports Chicago for all of your Chicago football madness needs. And we'll be right back after the break.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, Paul, JJ, and Cam back here on the Under Center podcast. We've got John Moon Mullen over the phone to talk about the 1985 Bears and this side of the bracket. Moon, obviously an expert on the 1985 Bears. And Paul, I'll let you take it away with this.
All right, Moon, so we'll just lay out the matchups for you. I know you've got the bracket in front of you as well, but... So we've got the 1 seed Walter Payton against the 16 Kevin Butler, the 8 Steve McMichael against the 9 William Perry, the 5 Jim McMahon against the 12 Gary Fensick, the 4 Richard Dent against the 13 Leslie Frazier. Then we've got the 6 Dan Hampton against the 11 Jay Hilgenberg, the 3 Mike Singletary against the 14 Otis Wilson, the 7 Buddy Ryan against the 10 Wilbur Marshall, and then the 2 Mike Ditka against 15 a Hurricane. Obviously, a sports Saturday Night Live reference there. So, Moon, are there like one or two matchups that really stand out to you, or anyone that's really underseeded or overseeded?
Yeah, I think a couple of them, and I think this is not building a case for it, but I think this is maybe like this year's Super Bowl. This is the championship bracket. Let's face it, this is the team that has most champions. And it's also going to be, I think this is the tournament that's going to be ruled by defense, just like the Super Bowl. I think the matchup that I'm really looking forward to is in round 2. I think Ditka and Buddy Ryan make it through the first round, and then they go at it again, just like they did in the locker room at halftime in Miami. Maybe they can settle it, go 2 out of 3 falls, and get this thing taken care of.
All right, so we'll go matchup by matchup. So Walter Payton, I think we can all assume is winning that against Kevin Butler. The 8-9, Steve McMichael against the Fridge. How do you see that one going?
You know, Fridge always had, and guys who played with him and against him said he could have ruled. He just is too nice a guy, and he is capable of beating anybody in this tournament in any bracket. McMichael, though, is better focused, and I think Steve advances in probably a close matchup. 2 defensive tackles. I think I'm going to go with Ming on the – he's given the edge on wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, I always give Mongo the edge whenever it comes to any coin flip. That's mm-hmm. my theory.
Yeah.
All right, how about the 5-12? We've already seen 1-12 seed upset with Vic Fangio taking down Mitchell Trubisky, but mm-hmm. McMahon and Fensick.
Yeah, same one. In fact, I thought that 5-12 matchup would be the upset in that other bracket as well with Fangio. I think Fangio comes out of this thing, but we'll get to that point later. But
wow.
Yeah, I think this is not somebody you want to play in a tournament. but no, I think the 5-12 is always where upsets happen, and I'm going to go with the 12 in this case.
Okay. 4-13, Richard Dent, Leslie Frazier.
Richard, I believe, wins the whole thing. Richard plays his best in the big games. He's a 4 seed. Leslie, nice player, not in Richard's class. And the Colonel, like I said, he saves himself in the big plays and the big games. He knows when to put the pedal down. I think he gets by Leslie without too much trouble.
All right. So already some moving and shaking. How about the 6-11, Dan Hampton and Jay Hilgenberg?
Nice player, Hilgi, but you're out of your class with Danimal. Another guy who plays his best, gets motivated. I think he's mad because he's only a 6 seed, so he's got an edge to him, and I think he takes it out on Jay Hilgenberg this time.
Nice. How about Singletary and Otis Wilson?
Boy, talk about two peas right out of the same pod. Flip a coin, and you catch Otis on a good day. I'm going to go with Singletary. I think... from his time with Buddy, he knows how to defend people. He will have Otis figured out. He'll have Otis anticipated. And I think Mike advances in this one.
Okay, so you already said Buddy and Ditka. So let's just jump to that second round matchup. Who wins between Buddy and Ditka?
Buddy is more motivated. He's mad, first of all, that Ditka is seated higher than him. Doesn't think he got enough credit anyway. And I think Buddy puts it all on the line in this game. And I think, you know, Mike's more – defense is going to rule. I think this tournament will be won by defense. And I think that is Buddy's forte, obviously, in this case. I think he's better at defending Ditka. Ditka probably blew himself out a little bit against – outblew the Hurricane, but I think it's going to be Buddy on this one. Two Hurricanes going at it.
As we move on, another second-round matchup, Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary.
Yeah. When Singletary was going into the Hall of Fame, he called Hampton, told him he got a call that morning from Singletary, who said, "I never appreciated how much you and Ming and Fridge did for me up in front." He knows what Dan Hampton is. He's not good enough to beat him in a tournament match like this. Dan Hampton, certainly on his guitar playing ability, too.
Yeah.
All right. So you said Richard Dent is your pick to come out of this bracket. So let's just take us through the Richard Dent-Walter Payton matchup.
Yeah, again, I think the problem that Walter has, he's got an easy first-rounder with Butler. Butthead, but there's too much defense. Walter's going to have to get through McMichael, Fensick, who I think is going to take McMahon, and then Richard. There's just too much defense in this half, and the Patriots could shut him down in the Super Bowl. I think this many good defensive players in a row, he doesn't have the firepower to get past all of these guys. So I'm going to have Richard's going to prevail.
Okay, and then another Sweet 16 matchup, Buddy and Dan Hampton.
Oh, a lot of love between those two. Buddy spent himself beating Ditka. He left it all on the court, left it his tongue. He tripped over his tongue a couple times. I don't think he has any energy in this round, and I think the Dan will advance over him.
Okay, and then Richard Dent is your Final Four pick there.
Yep.
All right, so JJ, take us on to the Legends and the Others.
Yeah, so the Legends and Others. Moon, I think I know who you're going to go with in the 1-16 matchup, being George Halas versus Mark Trestman.
a trick question?
So we can, unless you're a big fan of, what's the Tampa Bay XFL,
the XFL
team? You know, George Halas never coached in the XFL.
That's true.
Okay, quickly down the matchups here. Sid Luckman versus Red Grange in the 8-9. We've got Julius Peppers versus Dave Wanstep in the 5-12. Matt Forte versus Alshon Jeffrey in the 4-13. Ryan Pace and John Fox in the 6-11. Gale Sayers versus Mike Brown in the 3-14. We've got Cuddy versus Orton in the 7-10. And Dick Butkus versus Neil Anderson in the 2-15. So what do you like out of these, Moon?
Well, I think Butkus bites Anderson's head off on the opening snap, so he wins that one. I think everybody's afraid of Butkus. I think the matchups I love in this one, and again, this is going by another one of these ones with a little bit of an edge to it, is Ryan Pace at the sixth seed against John Fox, the 11th mm-hmm. seed. This is a blood feud. I think a lot of things weren't said. First of all, Fox is mad. He said, "I got two teams to the Super Bowl. This guy can't even get a team out of the first round of the playoffs. What am I? How am I going to proceed below this guy?" So, you know, a lot of bad blood there. And I think Fox is going to be laying for Ryan Pace in that one. I'll buy a ticket to that one.
What about Cutler versus Orton?
No, I'm a Kyle Orton guy. I don't think Cuddy wins the big games. I think Kyle Orton. There are players in that 05 team that said we'd have been in that Super Bowl if we'd have stuck with Kyle that year. So I think Kyle has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder for Cuddy. Not as flamboyant. He doesn't have the TV show quite yet. But I think Kyle is going to upset. Well, I think he'll take down the more talented but less personality guy.
I was gonna ask if you've watched any Very Cavallari, Moon.
Must have missed that one. I've got to catch that one on the radio somewhere.
Dang. Okay, so let's just run down this. You've got Halas over Trestman. What do you got in Luckman versus Red Grange?
Ooh, tough matchup.
Yeah.
All-timers. And Grange's a good enough athlete to be an all-pro at a defensive back after he got his knee injury. I have to go with Grange. Just a better athlete all around. I mean, Sid, I'm not saying it was a product of the T formation, but Red Grange, you know, give me – 5 Red Granges, and we'll play in any sport and beat you.
Julius Peppers versus Dave Wanstep.
Too much talent, Pep. Having seen him play, Dave, a good schemer, is a defensive coordinator, but Pepper is just a team unto himself. And he was a walk-on at North Carolina in hoops anyway, so
yeah.
he's a gimme.
Matt Forte versus Alshon Jeffery, two of the stars of the offense in years past.
Yeah, both productive. That's kind of a coin toss of kind of a ho-hum, you know, B-plus players. Matt Forte just on all-aroundness. I think at least he was happy being in Chicago, and Jeffery's always got something wrong. He probably got a hamstring before we knew it.
All right, so you've got John Fox in a bloodbath over Ryan Pace.
Yes, I think that'll be my upset pick in that round. I think he's a more motivated guy, and he's got the two Super Bowls, and he's mad that he's the 11th seed, not the 6th seed.
Gale Sayers versus Mike Brown.
Oh, you got to go with Sayers.
Yep.
I think he's still the best runner I've ever seen, including Barry Sanders. Too much talent. Mike, he'll run away from Mike, I'm sorry to say.
All right.
Literally,
we know,
figuratively.
Yeah, right. We know you've got Orton versus Butkus. Judging from what you were saying, I'm pretty sure. What part of Kyle Orton's body does Butkus snap in this
matchup?
Well,
growls at him. He growls at him in the opening jump circle, and Orton forfeits. Orton saves his life and gets back in his Prius and goes home.
That's probably a smart move. John Fox versus Gale Sayers.
Yeah, too much talent there with Gale again. Yeah.
And then Julius Peppers versus Matt Forte.
Ooh, I wouldn't want to be Matt. Yeah. This is a guy who can run you down from behind, and yeah, Julius is a hard guy to pick against at any time. I think he's just there's too much raw. There's a Hall of Fame player
right
there.
And then George Halas versus Red Grange, kind of a fun one there.
Yeah, I mean, I think George might throw this match for his guy. I mean, you know, Red signed with him to kind of got to help get the NFL launched a little bit, so George has got a soft spot, and I think Red takes advantage of that and beats him.
Wow.
Ooh, all right. So we've got then Red Grange versus Julius Peppers.
Oh, you know, this is an interesting one because very often people always wonder, you know, say, well, could the old guys of yesteryear play in today's game? And Doug Buffon once said to me, he said, no, you got it backwards, Moon. He said, could they play in our day? And in this case, Julius Peppers could have played in their day. Again, I'm going to stay with Julius in this one.
Yeah, I mean, get Julius Peppers a leather helmet and he's all set. He's still good to go. Gale Sayers versus Dick Butkus. That's a fun one there.
That's the matchup. And indeed, the two draft classmates, you know, that one is, I mean, this is epic stuff. And this is a hard pick. I actually am going to pick Sayers to go there. I think George, only because you can outrun him. If Dick could catch him, he'd bite his legs off, but he can't. So this is going to go to Gale.
All right, another could he play in that era matchup then to finish it off here between Gale Sayers and Julius Peppers?
Yep. This would be one of those old era players, could have played any era, Gale Sayers. Once again, Julius, as good as it gets, but Gale just moves too well. I think he sets as good as Julius is. He gets him in the low blocks, it's going to be rough on Gale, but I think Gale works him around the edges and I think wins at a 3-point shooter.
All right, well then, let's get your pick for the final coming out of this side of the bracket between Richard Dent and Gale Sayers.
Well, I'm already kind of on record. Still, it's a defensive draw. And Gale is the only offensive guy I have making it to the Final Four, but he's going to run into Richard Dent, and that's too much. Too much.
Okay, well, since we got you here, we've debated the other side of the bracket. We got Alex Brown. He's going to be part of this. But give us what's your final four then? We know you got Dent, we know you got Sayers. Who are your other two on the other side of the bracket?
Apparently Fangio. I want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Who? Fangio.
Fangio, yeah.
Oh, the evil genius. He was mixing stuff up under the stands in a cauldron. Nobody saw it, and he slipped it into the into the water bottles, and no one can understand why they can't. He figured them out. You know, the evil genius is going to – that is a tough matchup. I think I might have him going at some point against Matt Nagy, which is a great – that would be a fun matchup. They've seen each other a lot. Vic is too good. I think this is too – that's the one coach, I think, who's good enough to beat just about anybody. And the other guy, again, is the bald Brian Urlacher. and we've ended up hair slowing him down. So, again, they're staying with all kind of defense. You know, I think Brian is maybe one of the best athletes in this thing. He's probably never been on a basketball court, but give him 5 minutes to work on something, he'd probably dominate in that sport, too. But I think that is that's coming out of what, the
2006, yeah.
The 06 bracket, yeah. I think that it's a good, there's some good matchups in there. I really want to, I'm buying a ticket to see Lovie and another 5-12 matchup with Ron Rivera against Lovie. And here again, I'm going to pick the, I would be picking the 12 upset. I think Rivera is still looking for a little bit of payback to Lovie after the, you know, Lovie kind of semi sort of let him go. I think here's another one where Ron says, hey, wait a minute. I got two teams with Super Bowl. Lovie only got one, and he needed my help. I think Rivera's going to win that matchup.
All right, before we let you go, Moon, real quick, because this is one we're having a lot of fun with, the 7-10 matchup in 2006 yes. between Alex Brown and Robbie Gould.
Oh, man. I didn't even thought about that far on that side of the bracket. That's the wimpy side of the bracket, too. They give me the Legends and the 85ers. I have a hard time picking against Alex. I think Alex gets it in the big games. The trouble is, he needs to pull away. He cannot leave this game close. If it's a three-point game at the end, Robbie hits from 55 yards. If they hit from 55 feet, it's a four-point play, and Robbie advances. I think Alex puts it away early, and I think that's a little bit too much of an athlete there.
All right, Moon, so who's taking it down when it's all said and done?
Oh, Dem.
Okay.
Yeah, the Colonel. Yeah, that's the Hall of Fame player. Never got the respect he deserved from Ditka. He uses that kind of thing as motivation. And this will be a chance every round, I'll show you kind of thing. And like I said, he plays his best in big games in a tournament. Every game's big, so the Colonel comes out of this whole thing.
I got to say, in terms of former player anecdotes that have been used on this podcast, Richard Dent also the winner because, Moon, you have said so many times about the Richard Dent rule of threes with pass rushers that, hey, that kind of played out with the Bears in 2018 in a little bit of a way. Mm-hmm. So you've been on that. You've been right about that. And obviously Richard Dent has been right about that for a while.
Yeah, hard to pick against some of these guys. I mean, I really thought initially when I went through it, I picked Butkus. I mean, this is a guy that they put a face mask on him, not to keep the players out, but to keep him in. So, you know, guys like that, yeah, hard to pick against him because I'm afraid he'll find me. He'll come to my house and find me, but I didn't pick him. But sorry, Dick. I think I'm going to have to go with the Colonel on this one.
All right, Moon, thanks for doing this. Remember, we want you, our listeners, to get involved. Vote for your favorite Bears in our Chicago Football Madness bracket on NBCSportsChicago.com. We'll also have Twitter polls for each matchup. Find those on Twitter at NBCSBears. This bracket will run through March Madness. Thanks for listening, and join us next time when we get back to all things current Bears and NFL right here on the Under Center Podcast.